is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show. Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hosho Tara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this hour of News for the Soul. I'm your host, El Maya Hosham Tara. You can write in at on the air at telus.net. That's one L in the telus. So on the air at telus.net. And you can also call in at 1-646-595-4274. Again, that's area code 646-595-4274. Or you can go to our website. That's newsforthesoul.com. And you can find our information there. So let's talk a little bit about codependency and rejection. Boom, boom, boom. So let's talk about some of the habits that happen for why people get rejected and they can't figure out why. So it's important to understand that, you know, everybody has a little bit of codependency. Okay, we've already been over that lots on this show. But it is important to understand that the codependent behaviors just simply don't fly if you have an interdependent enough community. And it's not that you're not going to have some things, you know, maybe you're a really lousy cook. So does that mean you have to be codependent about being a really lousy cook? No, but there are other ways to do it. It's either get off your butt and take a cooking class. Maybe you're really good at finding really cool places to get takeout. You know, maybe you buy your jarred sauces, but you're chopping your fresh vegetables at home, et cetera, et cetera. So there are healthier ways to be a healthier cook versus an unhealthy cook, right, if you're not good at cooking. But when we start putting the codependent spin on it, because you can be interdependent and still not be good at something, but part of it is how you handle it. So in codependency, it's usually more about overtaking on somebody else or shoving somebody else into doing it. And again, everybody's going to need help at certain points in time because you are going to have your weak spots, you know. And that's just going to happen. Now, codependency is, whoa, you have a weak spot. Oh, look how much better I am than you. And that's codependency because really, you know, everybody's got spaces. But when people don't understand that, you know, when people are going in for the kill on the space that you have a weakness, you know, that's more the codependency. In interdependence, it doesn't mean that they're going to carry it. You know, if somebody's like collapsed and they're supposed to be doing a presentation or whatever, and they don't like the way that Sue talked to them, you know, and it's like Sue's one of the other office workers, so they're refusing to do the presentation unless you honor their feelings. And it's like, well, you know, how you and Sue get along is, you know, your personal business. If you're having fights in the office, then we need to bring in human resources, but you still have to do your job. Now, codependency, I shouldn't have to. You're not taking my feelings seriously, so I'm not going to do my job. And so, you know, there's a weaknesses such as, you know, emotional maturity, which can really, or understanding that people still have to be responsible for their life and there's no getting out of certain things just because they don't want to do it, just because they want something to go a certain way or just because they're playing mind games. And so some things like, you know, playing mind games, those sorts of things will really blow up in interdependency unless somebody is, you know, more interdependent but plays a lot of mind games. But then they're probably not going to be that interdependent overall. And that's really important to understand. You know, sometimes we see things that are people that are more advanced than we think they're more advanced, but then, you know, we're going through the freaking nightmare with it. And they may be more advanced than a person, like somebody, who's in codependency, but they're still in codependency themselves. So they may have less of it or may not be giving, may not be making certain mistakes, but then other mistakes you find out are a lot worse. You know, so maybe they maybe they're not throwing a pity party and refusing to budge. And they're not going to do it. They're not going to give a presentation. I mean, they'll still do the presentation because they understand that's their job. But then they get home and they don't do housework. Well, she likes taking care of her man. And it's like, right. So when she's upset that you're not cleaning the floors, no, she likes to take care of her man. No, she's saying she wants help with the housework. Is that's why she's upset with you for not washing the floors. So you can get, you know, people who don't do one thing, but then, you know, all of a sudden they're shirking all their part of the work, for example, on somebody else. And that is extraordinarily codependent, just to be clear. But if you don't understand that yet or you don't recognize that, it makes it a lot harder to defend against that. And, you know, you're responsible for your stuff. You know, your physical stuff, you're responsible for your emotional stuff, you're responsible for your finances. I know that's a hard one for a lot of people, especially if you got to do all of them, and then you got to add in your health in there as well. You know, it's easier when you have those things resolved. It's that it's a lot harder when you don't have those things resolved, and the communities that you end up in, because those things are not resolved, tend to be, will be polite and say extraordinarily trying, right? And that's where you get your abuses, you get your toxic people, actually toxic people, not some of the things that we've gone through, misinterpretations of toxicity, even though they're on everybody's toxic person list, some of those misinterpretations. So you get people like they've got a really, you know, they're very caring, but they're exhibiting a lot of codependency, and that can get them rejected. So if everybody has codependency, you know, how do you know where somebody's codependency is, where it isn't? Well, you kind of have a general vibe overall about who you're going to be able to work with and who you're not. And some people, it is worth it to work with them. You're just going to have to make some adjustments, and it is worth being with them or being their friend. And then there are some things where, you know, their community may not think of it as a big deal, but and they can be like really far ahead of you, but in a lot of different areas, so much so that they don't want to be friends with you, but it's still not going to be good for you to put yourself in that situation, not just because of the rejection, but because in cases of, you know, sometimes in small towns, it's like, you know, people drink and drive because there's not that many people on the road. Okay. except for the other drunk drivers late at night. Okay. But then you get stories. I mean, if you look up stories about crazy car accidents that have happened, you've got things like people waking up to a loud crash and a truck has ended up 2 inches short of the kid's bunk bed after having mowed through the living room, as one example. And does that stuff sort of happen? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you've seen some cars, I remember when we were first traveling to Seattle, we noticed that there was this interesting things, car accidents that were happening where we would drive. And first time in my life I'd ever seen this, and I was well into my 30s, but there were cars, like, or not cars, semis, where the top cab would be on one level of a highway, I'm assuming, and it would be draped down the side of a wall because it had slipped off. And I'd never seen that before, so there's that. So, you know, there's also things like, you know, marijuana is legal here in British Columbia, where I live, and a lot of the truck, well, not, I can't say a lot, but there are definitely some truckers who definitely smoke up, and then they're driving semis, right? And then you've got the you've got these semis that are very dangerous. You have to, like, you know, speed past them, so you can't even pass them until there's enough of the clearway because they're weaving on the road and you can't, they're not safe to pass. And, you know, you're really taking a huge risk to be able to pass them, so you have to make sure that there's no traffic in front in your lane, so you're going to be able to, like, you know, zoom past really quickly and do it safely. So there are certain things where, you know, you can have people that you know, are doing the same thing with their own children in the truck, whether it's drugs or alcohol, and maybe you don't want to, you know, put your children through that experience. We have a thing called MAD up here. So it's MADD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That includes, you know, marijuana, I would imagine. You know, maybe you don't want to have your kids being driven by somebody who's doing those things. That was my rule for my kids, you know, don't drive while you're intoxicated with my kids in the car. Thank you very much. And I want to be clear. I mean, you know, people can go and knock themselves off all they want to. So you don't have a right to demand that they don't do that ever in their life. But there are certain jobs, if they're doing that, you don't want to be hiring somebody who's doing that because of the legal implications. So if you've got somebody in there, you're loaning them your car while you know that they're high or drunk, or you know that they're an addict, or you know that they're an alcoholic and have some sort of problems. If you're loaning your vehicle to somebody, there are legal ramifications that happen in a lot of areas to giving your keys over to somebody who is drunk or if they end up in an accident. So you need to be very, very aware of that, you know, and whether that's, accessory to murder or whatever, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I can't say. And because we're worldwide, this may be very different in people's areas. But that is something that is important to understand, because I've definitely met people who are like, no, it doesn't work in that way in my area. And it's like, Yeah, find out legally in your area, because a lot of people are surprised about what their laws are in their own area. They know what some of them are, but they don't understand how deep it goes. Like, for example, here in British Columbia, and this may have changed since then, but the last time that I was talking to somebody who did was working on Border Patrol, and I don't know if it's just if you have your Nexus card, which is your quick pass to be able to get through a lineup, but you can't drive somebody to the border and drop them off. You cannot do that. And I thought that was really interesting. If you take somebody over the border, you are responsible for them, which I did not know either. So it's not just you're taking somebody who's some jerk in your car. It's if that jerk gets in trouble and they name you or whatever else, or you're in the car with them, whatever else. And I've heard a lot of codependent people like, well, they're just going to arrest them just because they're smoking in the car, you know, smoking pot in the car in an area it's not legal. And no, you're responsible for your car. So if you're driving over with marijuana in the car, even if it's somebody else's, you are responsible for it. Just to be clear, you know, and codependency, it's like, well, they're going to believe me, you know, because codependency, people, when there's a lot of it, people don't necessarily have good coping skills. They don't understand how things work in different areas. And sometimes they're very offended by that. And sometimes they really understand that because they keep getting screwed over and they can't figure out why. And and so when people don't have the coping skills, they come up with really imaginative, interesting ways of coping with it or justifying things in their head. And then all of a sudden things blow up and they, you know, don't know why. And that is one of them. You know, even if you are driving into an area where marijuana is legal, it is illegal to cross the border with it. At least here in Canada is my current understanding. And I don't know if that's every province. That's just my general understanding of it. So it's really not worth it, but you have to. I mean, it may possibly vary from area to area. I don't know. But then you really have to be aware of that, especially if it's your car and you are driving. so there are a lot of different things like that where in codependency, you know, people don't think those things are a big deal. And they are, whether it's, you know, somebody doesn't want to put on their seatbelt. Well, if they get in an accident, they get hurt, even if they don't put their seatbelt on. In some areas, you can be liable for that. So there's all sorts of ways where the law does help back up, unfortunately, codependency. Now, some people are like, yes, it should be that way. Yeah, because they don't want to be responsible for anything. The problem with it is that it means that every time you're hanging out with somebody you're responsible, you have to really calculate what the side effect of that is going to be in your life. Codependency doesn't like to do it because in codependency, people are so used to codependency, they'll back up codependency. And what will happen is you get people who don't think that they need to take care of themselves because they're always the victim. And the problem with that is that to be a victim, somebody else has to be a bully or the perpetrator, you know, or the abuser or the toxic person, et cetera, et cetera. And so all somebody has to do is choose to be irresponsible. And by the way, you know, I know some people have a hard time with some of this because, you know, there's different levels of codependency and sometimes you don't hear some of these things. But playing the child, for example, as an adult to make somebody take care of them, I know for some people are like, come on, really? That is actually listed as a trait that they use to diagnose certain mental health issues, at least one. And that is based on the last time that I saw that video. But just to be aware of those things that, you know, some of the things that seem absolutely crazy to you, and I've heard some pretty crazy things, and I've been myself like, okay, come on. And then I've heard them in, you know, other talks and stuff like that, and I've been like, oh, you know, I've recognized it because I've, if you've, one interesting thing, and I've only ever seen this specific interpretation of it when trying to volunteer to help homeless people, if you've ever tried to do that, you'll see sometimes a woman hopping up and down like a little three-year-old child, like the feet are going like pitter-patter like a three-year-old is really excited because they're going to get a sucker. So she's like, no, it's not okay. And she's like jumping up and down and acting like a little child. I can't say or speak to, you know, why that sort of thing happens and why that tends to happen. I'm not saying it necessarily happens only in communities where there's a lot of homeless people. It's just the only place that I've noticed it. But one familiar coping mechanism is that people will often act helpless or act like children to get out of doing things or to get you to do things for them. And so that is there even without necessarily having that particular diagnosis. That does exist out there. And codependency, people grew up hearing a lot of things like, well, those other people are bad if they don't cover for you. And some variation, you know, so, well, rich people are bad because they don't give poor people their money. Well, rich people are rich because they work for it. Now, in some cases, have they stolen it? Yeah, absolutely. But rich is really subjective. I mean, for some people, you know, yeah, they own 10 properties, but they work their butt off. You know, they studied, they worked, they did not have an inheritance, they bought their first house, et cetera, et cetera. So there's that. Okay, so we're going to go to mailbag here. Just a second, really quick. One moment here. One moment. Hi, okay, sorry about that. Just a little phone thingy there. So let's see here. So when we're dealing with codependency and all that, it's really important to understand these things because it's, I mean, anybody can sort of like shift and, you know, demand that you do things for them. And again, you know, some of these things are things that sometimes we think only happen in one gender. For example, it's either happening in males, it's happening in females. And that's actually not true. Because sometimes, like, for example, women may talk about the emotional stuff more. Sometimes people get the impression that it's like women who have some of these emotional things. But just because the guys don't talk about it does not mean that stuff's not going through their head. In fact, if you've ever had a conversation with a guy and all of a sudden, you know, he's talking, he's putting things together, you're like, whoa, where did that come from? You're like, you really think that one? And they're like, yep, it's just the way it works. You're like, holy Batman. You have an example of what it looks like when men have codependency, but they just don't necessarily talk about it. But it's still there, and sometimes, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell. But when you're carrying somebody in a relationship, you know, they never tell you what they want. And this is one dynamic I see where some guys are like very silent as long as they don't tell you or confirm or deny anything because, quote unquote, they're the big silent type. You know, you can't complain about certain things or they never tell you what's going on. So you've got no idea what the relationship is look like whether it actually works for them or not. And they're like, I'm a guy. I don't have to talk about these things. And then all of a sudden, you know, and I've seen this pattern over and over and again where you've got some woman who's like, I covered for him completely, and she's in an abusive relationship. Or he's cheated on her and dumped her unceremoniously because he didn't tell her, so, I mean, he wasn't lying, but he was having an open relationship because they were polyamorous. He just didn't bother telling her. And then, meanwhile, you know, she's thinking she's having a monogamous relationship. And to be clear, that is shady, that is codependent, and that is extraordinarily toxic. And some guys will tell you, you know, do these things where it's like you're supposed to cover in the relationship for them so much to the point that you're not really even sure what the relationship is or if you're even having one because they are just not communicating anything. And that's a warning sign. And so if you've got a woman who's trying to cover or used to those sorts of things, then they keep ending up in abusive relationships over and over and over again, and they don't understand why. They're at a complete and total loss. And like, well, I have a good heart. Well, having a good heart does not mean that you ignore warning signs. And that would be codependency, okay? Because you do need feedback, right? You do need feedback from the other person to know what kind of relationship you're having, whether it's a good relationship, whether you're on the same page. And yes, both parties have to cooperate with relationship. Now, some people say, well, they don't like talking about it. Talking about it is part of it. Now, I will say that the masculine tends to want to talk about relationship stuff far less than the feminine. And that's okay. But there's a difference between, a woman, as a feminine, over-talking about it compared to the masculine and needing to run by her things, some things with a friend or, a coach or whatever. There's a huge difference between that and understanding that there's a difference with the way that people work versus having absolutely no cooperation from the masculine whatsoever. So even though they may have different levels of cooperation and even though they may have different ways of cooperating and contributing to the relationship, you still need to have somebody who's functional enough to have those talks. And if they can't, that's a warning sign. When you're getting so little information that you don't know whether you're on the same page or not, that's a warning sign. Now, in codependency, people say things like, and you hear a lot of guys say this, really deep in codependency, they don't know whether they want to get married or not. They don't know whether they want to have kids. Okay, if you know you want those things, that's not the right match for you. Codependency, well, you can't rush a guy. If he's in his 30s, that's not rushing. If he's never had kids and he's never thought about it, that's not rushing. That's what can be a warning sign that they're not organized enough to know what they want in their life. Well, we'll think about it. Okay, it's been a month. Did you think about it? Well, no, I need time. A month is more than plenty of time. You have stated it. Don't waste your time. Codependency, well, you're supposed to give a guy time. You can give somebody time till the cows come home. But in a lot of cases, they know what they want. They're just not telling you. In some cases, if they really don't know what they want, it's because they're too disorganized as a personality and there's too much codependency. Now, are there exceptions to that? Yeah, sometimes people, they've gotten divorced. They did want kids. Their partner didn't want kids. Now they're in their 40s. They don't know if they want kids anymore because they settled into a new phase of life. That would be more understandable. Does that mean you get involved with somebody if you're also 40 and you're looking to have children? No. If they don't know, unless you're really comfortable not having children, you don't take that person on as a romantic partner. Well, what about giving them a time limit? Again, how much time do you want to give them? How much time do you want to keep doing that with? How many people do you want to give a year to? Because if you're 40 or even if you're 35, 35 and over, you start having issues with pregnancy. And that's not just from the woman being 35 or older. It's also from having children of a man who's 35 years or older. So it's called a geriatric pregnancy. And a geriatric pregnancy comes from the male too. And there are health problems that come if you're having children with a man over the age of 35. So if they're over, especially if they're over the age of 35 and they don't know what they want and they haven't figured it out by then, that's a warning sign. Okay. And again, it's a little bit different if, they've got two kids and they don't know if they want a third one or not. Again, not just for you. But if, they've got two kids, the oldest one is 12 and they haven't figured it out since then. And they've been in relationships on and off that broke up with the mother of the children 10 years ago. And they haven't figured out what they want a third one. Pick somebody else. That's not the person for you unless, leave them for the people who have so much codependency that they're like, they're going to wait for another 10 years. And while you hear things about like, well, you can't rush a guy, and these sorts of things, not rushing a man does not mean that as a female you need to put your life on hold. That's codependency. That's not supportive. Now, codependency, you can put people on hold for the rest of your life because that's if they're really supporting you. They don't force you to make up your mind. No, that can be a sign of mental health issues. I really want to be clear about that. That's not a good choice. and I'm not saying it's always mental health choices, but when you have somebody who's 40 and they haven't figured out whether they want children or not and they're 40, that is a warning sign. That is a tread carefully, caution, may not be a warning sign, but it's definitely a caution, tread carefully types of thing. And codependency, yes, I know, but I have love in my heart. And then I'll go and do it again. So what about, like, you know, wow, he's really successful, the whole nine yards, and, you know, oh, you know, wait, you're not supposed to rush a guy and you'll get the cool chicks, right? You get the cool chicks, they're popular, they're athletic, they're sexy, they have good careers, great hair, oh my God, you know, and the bodies because they work out and they take care of themselves. And you'll see a lot of them, like, they're not married. Well, that's strange. Or they don't have kids. Well, that's strange. Because, you know, they look absolutely perfect. But then if you get to know some, and I'm not saying this is all the time, but you get to know some, and they've actually got a lot of codependency. And why does that happen? Because they're cool. They're not pressuring a guy. Oh, my God. Yeah, they're not looking for a relationship. They're just, you know, hanging and chilling and being cool, you know, for 6 months to see if, like, you're eventually going to maybe want a long-term relationship. And, you know, oh, my God, you don't rush these things. So they'll wait 3 years before having a conversation to find out if the person even wants to have children or not. And then they have a few of those relationships. So if you think that's a good idea, and again, in appropriate conversation, this is not forcing people to reveal themselves or to be invasive. But if you're dating somebody, you know, it's like, yeah, tell me, what's the longest relationship you've ever had? And they're really cool. And the longest relationship they've ever had is 3 years, right? There's a lot more codependency going on. That can be a sign that there's more codependency that's going on. And it can be hard in those cases to think about that or to realize that if, you know, somebody's doing better than you financially, they're doing better than you, it looks like, in health, they're doing better than you in, like, lifestyle, they got the good lifestyle, cool lifestyle, apartments well decorated, you know, the whole nine yards, they're going on trips abroad. but, you know, if the longest relationship has been 3 years and now she's 40, you know, that is something to consider. Like, that's another way that codependency shows up. So it's not, and they may, you know, why would that happen if they got so much going for them? some people believe there are certain issues that come with when people get ahead. So people who are extraordinarily successful, some people believe they're either perfectionists or they're, I don't know if it's narcissists or something else. And I'm not saying that it, like, 100% works that way, but the numbers were pretty darn high for being one or the other. And there's certain things that people put up with. So you got to balance out. It's not a matter of, like, not being rich. Definitely be successful in your career. But understanding that there's other things that may be going on, and it's not for everybody, because codependency, yes, you're rich and successful. Ooh, you must be codependent. No. Just to be clear, no. I'm just saying that sometimes it does work that way. So when you're hearing something that's a bad idea, that's going to be, you know, causing you problems or telling you to waste your time or to waste your life. My point for this is simply that there's a lot more warning signs behind the scenes than you may realize. So what is the bottom line? We're going to go for interdependency, because even though, yes, this plane does have some pain and suffering involved, you know, if you have a pet, eventually the pet's going to die, or you're going to break up with somebody, or, you know, sometimes you have a miscarriage and, oh, you were trying for 3 years and you lost the baby. I mean, some things just, oh, they're so freaking hard. But even with those things, it's still easier than living a life in massive amounts of codependency, because even in codependency, you can still lose a child, right? Like, let's be really clear about that. So codependency, quite frankly, just makes everything worse. Interdependency makes things better. But you have to be willing to do the work, and so do other people. So if you want that, then you come in for coaching, and this is what you do. You come in for coaching because that's the stuff that's going to make your life better. And I do have to say right up front, it may not be an instantaneous thing. It depends on where you are. It depends on the cooperation. Codependency is like, I came in for coaching. Oh, I sat there fuming. Oh, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, you need more participation than that. I'm participating. No, go see a therapist. Okay? Like, there has to be cooperation and actual cooperation. You know, you have to be willing to do the work. You have to be willing to be honest. But those are the things that are going to get you ahead. And then there's, like, a whole new life out there. And it just gets better and better. So let's see here. We're going to do mailbag. We have Shelley in New Zealand. New Zealand keeps coming up. Okay, so we have Shelley in New Zealand. Wants to know if I see her traveling in the next year. So one moment here, Shelley in New Zealand. And again, if you do write in, please put my name on it so that people, we know where it's supposed to be going. So Shelley, New Zealand. One moment here. No. So I don't know what it's like there. Here they're talking about like, ooh, the new implementations that they're going to start with the next wave of COVID stuff. But what I'm seeing currently is not only you're not going to be traveling, you're not going to be traveling for the next few years. And I can't actually get you out of the country. So it's like every time I try to get you to move, it's like we're coming up against this blockage. So we're going to keep aiming for, you know, knocking off the COVID nonsense. You know, it's sort of like if you're going to want to be traveling and you're wanting the freedom to be able to do that and to be able to move around for the next few years, you're going to have to, like, go now and then just plan on staying gone for a few years. And that's how you're going to be able to travel. But otherwise, like, nope, absolutely not. I don't see you being able to get out. But I do see you being able to travel if you do get out right away. I'm not saying that is COVID nonsense or not. I'm just seeing the blockages and stuff like that. But it does look like there's going to be some factors. I do not like the look of them. So if I check into the blocks, I'm not going to do a reading on them because sometimes the way that they show up, there's a lot of really dark stuff. Sometimes I can't do readings for people, and I want to be clear, this doesn't mean that you're dark or anything else. Or that, you know, I'm dark or anything else, just to be clear. But it's just that there's a lot of things that are getting attached on to people right now, and that can really affect things. And, you know, a good time to go for energy cleaning, talking to James Phillips on Mondays. I think she's 2 p.m. PST. That would be a good thing to do because there's definitely a lot of really nasty stuff going on that I'm getting, like, just there's stuff that's just shooting out. And so I'm going to end the read there, but good luck with that. But, understanding it's about growth, too, and leveling up and changing behaviors within self as well is a big one that's coming up is looking at your own attitude for things. So good luck. Let's see. So we have Sean in Boston, and he wants to know if I can give him a reading from his spirit guide about his purpose in life. So one moment here. Sean in Boston. Okay, so Sean, no. Actually, I can't. So what's happening is sometimes think of it as I don't want to out the person who said that, but we'll have to have that conversation if I could say that she said that. Sometimes who are your spirit guides aren't necessarily the best for your highest growth, and they're not wanting me to tell you that. I'm not going to give you a reading based on that because they're not in your best interest to be doing that. You actually need to go up and have a talk and fire them and swap them out for something for higher vibrational beings. So asking them about your purpose in life, no, I don't want to do that because that's not your best, highest and best interests. So no, I won't be doing that. Let's see, purpose in life though. So Sean, I see you like really, I'm asking Yeshiva right now. You can substitute whoever you want to. I just talk to whatever form that God takes works best, and I'm pretty open that way. So I'm using Shiva right now. But basically, what I'm getting is that there's a lot of you actually having conversations with people, and it seems to be like on the ground, you know, like talking to people, interacting with them one-on-one, not like sitting there like one-on-one, like, you know, okay, not like coaching, but it's more like you're walking down the street and you're just making a lot of different connections with people and having these conversations, and they actually seem very So it was like, oh, it's not the time for you to switch out your spirit guides from your spirit guides. but I'm going to just put them in a nice little diamond so that they're not affecting things right now, because there's a lot of mixed messages that I'm getting, so I'm just going to try to do it straight from Shiva. Hold on. A moment here. So it does seem to be like about you like spreading some sort of word or something, or like having conversations with people. Not getting a clear view on this because, unfortunately, I'm fighting with your spirit guides right now about this. And again, yeah, I'd really suggest you have a conversation and switch those ones out sooner rather than later, because I'm making it a freaking nightmare to do a read. And quite frankly, I don't trust them. not very good. And I want to be clear, this is not like, you know, sometimes people hear that and they're like, hey, you know, somebody must be low level. It's not. There's different reasons, and it is, you know, if you hear about it and choose to do it, that was part of what you were supposed to be doing, was to switch them out. if that works for you. Some people are like, they're nice spirit guides, you're the best thing ever. No, actually, if there's a lot of them that are, you know, not people you'd even, they're so low vibration, you wouldn't even talk to them on this plane. And then there are different reasons for that. Including, you know, not listening to bad guidance. And I know some people who are like really, really deep, they know the spirit guides for what they are, so they actually don't even listen to them at all, because they're here to do their path, not to listen to somebody else. And I remember the first time that I heard that was with a really deep teacher, and she was actually one of my teacher's teachers, and he was like the deepest person that I'd ever met for a long time. And she was saying, no, it's, you know, it's her journey. She doesn't listen to her so-called spirit guides anymore, because they don't always come in at the highest level or have the best interest. One thing I will say, though, is that there's talking about people, you've got two choices, and one of them is that your stuff's going to come up and you're going to deal with it, and that's going to be, you know, you're going to go for coaching, you're going to work through your stuff, and that's going to be a really beneficial thing, because that can really take you through the process of growth really, really quickly. And then the other thing is, yes, you have the option to just be like, I know more, I'm helping those people, they don't know what they're talking about, I'm higher level than they are. And in which case there can be a lot of anger and hatred, people really not supporting things, actually being very upset with you because you're, you know, twitching off and fudging off people, you know, left, right, and center because, you know, you've got the ego going, and that's not going to go very good, to be clear. so you've got that option. But you also have the option where all that stuff coming up, it can be a really, really huge growth process. But the warning that you really have to be careful in regards to the ego in doing that. So your purpose in life is actually to sort, you know, your own journey, your own inner journey out. And that is, you know, some people are on this plane, this lifetime, to really go through that process to, and in your case, it's about getting like three lifetimes worth of, you know, baggage issues to sort out, et cetera, done in one lifetime. And I've seen that for many different people where, and there's different reasons for it, but sometimes it's just to get it sorted so it's out of the way. Sometimes it's just, you know, you're burning off old karma. But for you, it really is this very strong lifetime for going deep and doing your work and getting rid of it. And the nice thing is, you know, you actually sort through that stuff honestly and you work through it. You don't have to take all those lifetimes of stuff into the next lifetime. You don't have to, you know, have this lifetime again. You don't have to, you know, play repeat on it. And especially with, so I'm not digging into past stuff here, but just seeing what you look like now in terms of, you know, usually when I get this, when I see people this way, they've had trauma in the past and it's affected them to a great degree. And so you have the chance to, you know, get that all sorted out so you're not having to take it into the next lifetime or have those past life experiences. but also not be stuck in the same ways or be stuck in the ego in the same ways. So even though I know that's probably not what you were thinking you were getting signed up for, it is an opportunity. I want to be clear about this, even though some of it doesn't sound very nice. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity to really dig deep and sort all that stuff out and root all it out so it's not affecting future lifetimes. You know, so think of it as, you know, the most intense coaching session ever, you know, for decades, because you don't look that old. You know, so you can have that, you know, very, because you've got at least half your life left ahead of you, I would imagine. Well, again, depending on, I'm not sure of your age. You kind of look young, but you kind of look mature at the same time. So I don't know if you're like 30, 40, or 50, somewhere in there. It's kind of hard to tell. But you've really got like decades left to really go through that most, like, really, really intense process of honesty, of burning that stuff off, of working through it. And that's really, really invaluable. I really want to be clear about that because not everybody has it. And, you know, personally, I wouldn't want to go through, you know, future lifetimes having to take, like, everything along. I'm a firm believer in get, you know, whatever you can get done this lifetime, get done this lifetime. And I'm not going to say I've always lived by that. But whatever you can, it's really important to realize, like, whatever you can work through, dissolve, and not dissolve because people are just taking the karma away, not so much into that. Sometimes there are times you just break it because, you know, you've gotten far enough, but they're still hanging on. That can be a good time to let stuff go. But, excuse me, in terms of, excuse me, you're never going to have to deal with it again. That's why you sometimes get very involved people who are codependent or have warning signs flaring. and it can break a lot of trust to sit with them. So, you know, you have the option to, you know, not advance and be like that because you've sorted enough of your stuff out. And, you know, so really, really powerful. I know it's probably not being put the best, but I'm hoping you understand that because there's a lot of stuff you could really do this lifetime that would be really, really beneficial for you, and that is your purpose in life. So sometimes people are like, you know, oh, they're a self-development junkie. Well, it's not a junkie. It's unless somebody's using that to hide out, is some people are really on a very hardcore path for growth, for self-development. And that's what they're here for. They're here in this lifetime to burn it off, to be addicted, quote unquote, to self-development, you know, to go through all that, to make the heights, to make those changes, to dissolve things, work through, you know, the stuff that's blocking them, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you can really, really be on fire with that stuff. And that does look like the sort of lifetime that you're having. So good luck with that. and also, you know, regarding the, you know, switching out your board of the people that are on your upstairs team, et cetera, you know, how much do you want to fight with their stuff, quite frankly? So good luck with that. Oh, and a little PS on that. That is one of the problems. You don't want to be taking on and working through their stuff. And I've definitely seen that happen where somebody's had, like, spirit guides, and their spirit guides are sort of like, you know, basing your life based on what they're going through and putting you through those things because they're trying to get things resolved for you because they don't understand and don't have the boundary that their stuff is not for you to work out and you do not have to work out their stuff for them. And that would be a good example of, you know, a boundary violation happening, and you're probably going to want to switch those ones out. The reason I'm not saying that I'm seeing that with the ones you have, I'm just saying that you've got a lot of really bad attitudes, and you are responsible for your own stuff. You know, it's, some people use that as an excuse to duck out and go, it's not me, it's my guys. Just like everything else, codependency, it's not my fault. so none of that, but what I am saying, though, is that there's a lot of, you know, I don't like their attitude. I wouldn't hang out with them personally. You may choose to do so because you may think that they're more advanced to you, but it's kind of like finding out the more advanced people are you know, not very nice, to put it politely. So I might suggest you ask for like higher vibrational cleaner. But then, let's see. So, and asking for cleaner and understanding, like, if things seem more challenging after doing that, it's because they're helping you burn stuff off. So it's, you know, not a process that I would suggest you take on without helping somebody who's, or without having somebody who's going to be helping you process things. I would really suggest the helping of the process. But you can really make good headway with that if you choose to. So good luck. And let's see, we have Haley in New York. She wants a reading about her marriage. Oh, dude, I see them reconciling. So one moment here, Haley. Oh, that's a hard one, honey. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Just give me a minute here. I'm sorry, honey. I don't see that happening. you're basically... they have walls up and the stuff that they have to work through, you'd be happy, but they'd still have the stuff to work through and they're not going to be happy until they work through that stuff. I'm sorry. And, you know, if they did work through their stuff, it just seems more like it would be a relationship where you would always be more engaged. You would always be more chasing. You would always be trying to make things more okay. And that's something your partner needs to figure out for themselves. and here's the thing, you know, like if I put your partner on a growth path and you grow too, which is great, it still doesn't work. If your partner goes first, then it's like, you know, there can be upset with that you're not growing as much. So it's like, okay, so let's put healing in growth position. And then I have you grow more. And then it's like, oh, hold on here. Oh, hold on. Yeah. And it's like, okay, you grow more. And then there's like hope on the horizon. And it's like, great, it looks better. And then it's like, you're getting pulled in, you're getting tested, you know, tugged around, bent all out of shape, like bounced into a little ball, and then, again, just being thrown to the side again. So I'm sorry, honey. I really wish I had better news for you than that, but no, I don't see it happening, and it doesn't look like it would be, it looks more like something that... because you could be happy in it. You think maybe it's a good idea. Maybe you think it's, you know, it's something that you could make happen. And it's like you could make it happen from your perspective because you would be happy because you're not understanding what's going on for your partner. And it would just end up in you being back in the same situation in like about 5 years. It would be like your relationship would be coming to an end again in 5 years. And that's going to be, you know, like 5 years from now. And that's going to be hard to keep, you know, going through that, knowing that you're never going to have that sort of stability. And, you know, so like, okay, so what if you make the changes again in 5 years and, you know, everything shifted around magically? You know, it would be like, okay, then in 10 years you're begging for you're begging for your relationship, trying to hold on to your relationship, and then you're in there and the chasing somebody's going to ghost you anyways. So you'd have, you know, 15 years of trying to convince somebody to be in a relationship that they're just going to end up leaving anyways. And then trying to chase at that point, you would just get the block again, and it's like a big solid door, you know, slammed in your face, not being able to make it past that. So, you know, I mean, there's responsibilities for, you know, everybody in terms of how they act, what they can take. And, but sometimes you just have temperaments that just aren't compatible. So because you have that capacity to be happy in relationship, you know, and you have your other stuff going on, look for somebody who's looking for somebody who's you know, they're happier in the relationship and they see you and they have the capacity to be happy with you. And it's something that they're interested in. Some people have more of a, you know, a dramatic flair to them, and they prefer being more with dramatic flair. Sometimes you see this with couples in the U.S., you know, one's supposed to be West Coast, one's supposed to be East Coast, and East Coast people can, you know, there's like a lot of black, you know, New York, it's very driven, it's very masculine, it's very dry, and, you know, I mean, I love New Yorkers, but I also love West Coasters, because, like, I love that easygoing, you know, chill vibe, and sometimes you get people from both coasts, and they get together, and the temperament is just so different. You know, one likes, you know, really sunny, bright, like, oh, let's go for, like, tacos, you know, we're going to have vegan tacos, oh, there's this new place, and they make taco meat with walnuts, you know, and it's like a very vegan lifestyle or a lot of raw stuff, or at least it used to be. I don't know what it's like now. again, depending where you go, I mean, I had the best Mexican food in LA, like ever. I mean, LA, hello, you win for Mexican food. Oh my God. and like hands down everywhere I went, it was like, oh, the best Mexican food ever. we ate Mexican food a lot. I think I ate more Mexican food in that week than like probably 6 months anywhere else. It was like intense. Maybe not 6 months, but definitely a few months in 1 week. It was so good. So you do have like these different kinds of vibes, and they're not like, it can be easy to say like one's bad or the other, or like, you know, oh, you've got to make these changes. And it's just, you do have really different temperaments, and they're just not compatible. The interesting thing is, like, let's see. The new person you can find, and this is going to be the darndest thing, they're going to look kind of like the person that you've just split up with. And so much so people may think like, you know, they're siblings or, you know, and sometimes people, you know, and when if people are like, oh, you're just trying to replace the old person, ignore that shit. I'm telling you right now. Because even though things may look the same, you do have to be careful about that. So this is not about getting people who kind of look the same and, you know, and then trying to make them into something you want. So be very careful about that, because sometimes you can see that happen. All of a sudden you're popping up, oh my God, there's 10 people that look like the ex, you know. so avoid that. But there is definitely somebody who's going to look very similar to the ex, so much so that if they saw two separate pictures of them, they may think it's the same person. And one you actually have, you know, marriage, like, material with, and it would be worth it. Let's see, hold on. That would be like the rest of your life, like your person. So it's interesting. So it's kind of like kind of close, but not quite. But the other person, think of it as like building blocks. Like you've just gotten the Lego set that's like built you sort of like, you know, 3/4 of the way to maybe not quite 3/4. Take this a little bit of grain of salt, but it's kind of like, it's like having a Lego set where somebody's like built it 3/4 of the way and you're like, okay, this is my Lego set, but it's not your Lego set. And then you get a different Lego set and it's like, you've now built the Empire, you know, the Empire State Building, you know, or whatever has you. And you're like, ah, that's what I always needed. Okay, cool. This really works. so it's like kind of like the same, or looks like it should be getting you there, but it's like the ex wouldn't, but the new one would. And yeah, so if people are starting to trip on you, it is something you have to be careful about. And again, you know, write in, call in, we can work through that stuff. But yeah, definitely it's a good guiding sign. You know, sometimes we do get involved with the guiding signs, and I want to be clear, like, you know, your spouse is not just like a warning sign, or, you know, not just a hint. There was more to it than that. But it's, yeah, it's really interesting. It's a really interesting dynamic. And again, when people start putting their stuff on, like, oh, you must be doing this, ignore it, because it'll be worth it to ignore it. And that is one of the things that we do have to deal with and face, you know, with spirituality and self-development, is you're going to do things that people are like, oh, it's, you've obviously been doing this. And it's like, nope, and it actually works out for you. And that's a hard one for people to understand. So sometimes you just got to stand fast and ignore the haters. So thank you so much, Haley. You're such a sweetie. Thank you so much for writing in. And have a good one. Okay, we have Annie. My Annie's on. Annie, Book Benny.
Oh, that's a good song. That's an oldie. Oh, I thought you were shutting down the show.
I am too, but Nicole's like, Annie's on.
Oh, great. Yeah. So I was just too sick to call in before. I spent a couple of Thursdays just resting.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
So
other
so what can we do for you today?
A bunch of us have the same thing that I do. We go to see Tom Jam, and we're all trying to cure ourselves crazily, you know. So we're going to have an array of different healers. Some people have had success, but the kind of cancer we have is a bit more challenging, I guess, than most. But there are three healers that I was looking at that I want to be healed. I just don't want an extension of time. And my other girl that works with me, and my daughter too. There's the three of us.
Okay, so Nicole did let me know. She put you on because it's you, but we got to be late because, or sorry, we got to be brief because we're running to the top of the hour here. It's really, really close. So give me the initials one at a time, and we'll do a reading on all three, and then I got to let you go. So give me the first person.
Okay, first one is H, and the second one, I forget the name, but I'm going to give you a reference of black polka dots.
Okay,
and
so what's
the other
H
one
for?
Is Ing.
Is N as in
Ing,
as
I-N-G.
Ing.
No,
okay.
I-N-G.
Okay, so let me hear, just quick here. H is a definite no. Polka dots, reference polka dots. Here, hold on. Okay, so polka dots is... may not be cured. I know you said you didn't want the extension of time, but it looks like the extension of time would be worth it. So it's not just extension of time, you're suffering. It looks like there would be some good to be coming out of that. They're not showing relief, and they're not showing whether it would be relief or not, but they're basically saying, like, it would be worth it to do. We know you didn't want just an extension of time, but in that case, it would be, and it looks nice. Like, it does look nice. It doesn't look like it's just, oh, you're going to be laying in a hospital bed suffering. Excuse me one moment here for Ing. One moment. Okay, so here's the thing, Ing. I'm getting, like, almost cured, but then there's, like, a little... Okay, now they wanted me accurate. I'm like, this is going to sound weird. So they're saying cured, but, and then it's like the but becomes, there's one thing that they can't pull out, and it's like seeing Annie, a picture of Annie, a poster, and there's a tack stuck in your foot, and they can't pull the tack out, and that's going to be causing problems. So what I would actually suggest, oh boy, this is really complicated, I would actually suggest polka dots and ink, but, I mean, that's going to be a minefield in terms of trying to not, you know, letting polka dots sort of, like, get things out and cleared, but you would have longer lifespan with polka dots. Ink... it wouldn't be as long, but it's like a lot of it, like there's a lot of healing there, but you're going to have to like sort between the two and know when to hold your, and know when to make your choice of where you're taking polka dots advice over Ing, because Ing can get very stuck, not just on the tack, but just very stuck in like, you know, follow my way, those sorts of things. So it is definitely going to be a dance, but Ing will get you the longer lifespan, again, worth it, and then seeing what that is. But you do have to be careful because the lifespan is not as long with Ing. So you kind of have to take polka dots more in some cases, or a lot of cases. You're going to have to go with polka dots more, and making sure that you're standing your ground with Ing. But Ing definitely has the benefit, but you're also going to have to let Ing in more than perhaps of what I'm saying. But then you're going to have to balance, you know, A versus B, apples versus oranges. This may, you know, take off a little bit of lifespan, but it's going to be more beneficial, and you're going to have to sort of do that. And sometimes Ing's going to be a little bit more, we'll be polite and say pushy, but that pushy may sometimes come in handy, and it is something, but you don't want to sort of like push over polka dot's ability to expand your lifespan and do the good things there, because polka dots definitely has a nicer energy, and I'm seeing the nicer results, but I like the fact that Ing can get in there and get some of that stuff out.
Good.
Okay, so call.
You've got to go, and I will call back again.
Okay, yeah, and then get the rest of your initials and more questions, and we'll deal with that. Thanks, honey.
Thank you. Thanks, Nicole.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so thank you so much, everybody. We are running really over the hour. And again, you can call into the show. And so every single week here, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago, and I'm hearing somebody else. I'm going to let you go. Go to newsforthesoul.com to find me and everybody else. Again, my name is El Maya Hoshiam Tara, and you can go to my website, that's Enlightenment in the City. And if you want to change your life, come for the coaching, enlightenmentinthecity.com. Thank you so much, everybody. I love you. 3 p.m. PST every single Thursday, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I love you. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.